All right, we are in Selected Messages, Volume 3, page 121. This is Chapter 18, the title being Comments While at Work on the Conflict Series Books. And this first subheading is titled The Result of Visions Spanning Her Lifetime. And it says, I had been, during the 45 years of experience, shown the lives, the character, and history of the patriarchs and prophets who had come to the people with messages from God, and Satan would start some evil report or get some difference of opinion or turn the interest in some other channel, that the people should be deprived of the good the Lord had bestowed upon them. And no, we're not patriarchs and prophets today, but we are used by God in the same way that they were used. And how often, how many of us have witnessed this in our own lifetimes, where we're trying our best to share the truth with loved ones or friends or anybody, for that matter. And the devil will come in and twist it all around. I remember the most recent thing was one of my sisters actually reached out to me and my wife, wanting to talk to us. This is right before my dad died. And I thought, well, praise the Lord. This is like one of my brothers asked me about. He wanted to talk to me about the law, and because he knew I was a Sabbath keeper. And that never came to anything. I called him two or three times and never got back to me. And then my sister, everything was going great. We were going to have a meeting, but then all of a sudden my dad went to sleep. So we had the funeral and all that. And as many of you know, I shared that I did that little blurb and on his death card, my mother asked me to write something in regards to scripture. And so I did, and I guess one of my sister's friends, ministerial type friends, saw it and wanted to put it on their website. And I says, yeah, go for it. Just all I require is a link back to my site. He says, all right, no problem, you know, just don't edit it, you know. And they agreed. And then he went and checked out my website, and I guess, just like we see here, the devil moved them to give an evil report about our faith to my little sister. And so that meeting that her and her husband were going to have with us was canceled. And it was never brought forth. That's just the most recent. Well, that's not the most recent, but we are going to have to deal with this kind of stuff, because we are a threat to the enemy. And I don't know if you've been noticing this, but any of the, because I get emails on this, and I see this happening in my own life, we must be getting very, very, very close to the end, when the latter rain's going to start falling, because just from hearing what's going on in some of your lives, or just like what Sean was talking about here, or things that I've been seeing as well, old temptations are kind of like being thrown out. Like say you're surfing on the internet, and advertisements pop up that have pictures or comments or statements about things that used to entice you. And it could be, you know, it just can run the gamut. It could be anything from cigarettes to drugs, whatever. And so you could just, it's like you could smell it. It's like, yeah, I know what you're up to, Satan. Be gone. That's it. You know, but there's no need to even give him the time of day. I just ignore it. And hope in my mind that the demon that's trying to do this work for Satan is getting in trouble, because it just ain't working. But still, keep each and every one of us in prayer as we pray for you, because it's not going to get any easier as we get closer. The internet has become worse than the TVs. Yeah, amen to that. Yeah, especially because they don't have to have any kind of regulation to some extent. All they got to do is say, click here to make sure you're not under 18, kind of a thing, you know, when it comes to some real bad stuff that's like violence or the flesh thing, you know. So anyway, she finishes by saying, she says, I could but have a vivid picture in my mind from day to day of the way reformers were treated, how slight difference of opinion seemed to create a frenzy of feeling. Thus it was in betrayal, trial, and crucifixion of Jesus. All this had passed before me point by point. And how many of us have witnessed this as well? We've seen people leave our church family over minuscule little things. Just as, I mean, the devil will he knows how his victims will respond to certain things. I mean, I remember years ago, and I bring up the Christmas tsunami in this video that I'm working on right now, because it has to do with the fact that they mentioned that the reason the tsunami hit and killed all those people is because they weren't going to church on Sunday, and I brought it up in the video that I'm doing. But the it reminded me of this one guy that used to be part of our number, and he left because he didn't like what I said in regards to how that earthquake or that tsunami could have originated. And just that one little point. And what it was because the first time in the history of seismic recorders or seismic recording or seismic workers that are manning those things 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, they're never allowed off time at all, ever. Well, sure, they take vacations, but there's always somebody sitting in their chair when they walk away. It's the same thing with, like, air traffic controllers. There's always somebody at that seat, right? Well, for some odd reason, on that weekend of the tsunami, their boss decided, well, I'm going to give you guys Christmas off this time. And so they got Saturday and Sunday off. So they got Christmas and then the day after Christmas off. And it just so happened that's when that tsunami hit. And the only thing that came to my mind immediately was the fact, okay, first of all, the reports were about the hot water coming in and stuff like that. But I know in the back of my mind, anybody that's looked into seismic recording and how it works, it kind of like when an earthquake hits, it kind of rumbles in. It works up to a peak, and then it just drops itself down. You know, it's just, it comes in like a wavelength, right? But a nuclear blast is just a spike. That's it. There is no rumbling in, no rumbling out. It's just boom, like an explosion, right? So what's to say that they didn't put some kind of a nuclear warhead at the base of the ocean just far enough away to where it would bring in a tsunami and kill all those people, so as to test the theory on causing tsunamis in a controlled fashion? But if you've got people sitting at seismic monitors, they're going to know what happened was unnatural. They're going to know there was no earthquake. They're all going to know it was a nuclear blast. And that's all I said. And so from that day forward, this guy left our number. And that's, you know, again, that's just slight. That's really, really slight, because that's not even doctrinal. Because there's others that have left our number, too, in regards to slight doctrinal differences that aren't even salvation issues. And so, yeah, this is the devil's going to do whatever he can to try to get people away from the truth that we embrace as a family. So, going on, this next one is subheading is Constructive Criticisms Appreciated, 1885. And she says, tell her, which is Marianne Davis, I have just one minute ago read the letters in which she has specified the improvements to be made in articles for Volume 1 of Patriarchs and Prophets. I thank her. Tell her that she has a point about Zedekiah's having his eyes put out. That needs to be more carefully worded. Also the rock when the water flowed, something in reference to this. I think I can make the article specified more full. Yeah, that's just good editing protocol. You know, and we all know about Zedekiah. I mean, he kept on ignoring Jeremiah left and right, left and right, left and right, left and right. I mean, Jeremiah told him, says, you know, you won't die if you just, you know, surrender to the king of, you know, to Nebuchadnezzar. And instead, you know, not only were all the princes in his cabinet killed in front of his face, so were his sons. And then directly after that, Nebuchadnezzar melted his eyes. And so for the rest of his life, that was the last thing he ever saw, was his own sons dying violently right in front of him. And so I imagine she had to go in a little bit more detail on that. Anyways, next subheading is Books Sought Giving Order of Events. And it says, well, my dear Willie and Edson and Emma, let us draw very nigh to God. Let us live daily as we would wish we had lived, when the judgment shall sit and the books shall be opened, and when everyone will be rewarded according to his works. Tell Mary to find me some histories of the Bible that would give me the order of events. And then the compilers are saying here, in the preparation of the Desire of Ages, which is an awesome, awesome book, I'm reading it now, again, she says, such works were used in determining the orders of events. On this point, Marion Davis, writing to the manager of the Pacific Press, stated that in November 23, 1896, and is quoted by leading writers. Wait, I missed a thing here. It says, in the order of the chapters we followed, Andrew's Harmony was given, as given in the life of Christ. He is generally regarded as the very best authority and is quoted by leading writers. We know of no better arrangement than this. And this has all the sources from that point forward. And then Sister White says, I have nothing and can find nothing in the library here. So she was just looking for help. Nothing wrong with that. How many times have you all gotten emails from me? I just sent one to Brother Craig last week. Can you help me find this? So amen and amen. All right. This next one is titled, subheading rather, Holy Spirit Traced Truths on Ellen White's Heart. And it says, how many have read carefully Patriarchs and Prophets, The Great Controversy, and The Desire of Ages? I wish all to understand that my confidence in the light that God has given me stands firm, because I know that the Holy Spirit's power magnified the truth and made it honorable, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. In my books, the truth is stated, barricaded by a, thus saith the Lord. I praise God that coming from a Catholic background, I wish, well, no, I don't wish, because I just assume not be in that church. But had the forefathers, if you will, of Roman Catholicism were more impressed with a thus saith the Lord than the let it be written theology, which is imprimatur in Latin. And all that means is if the Pope says it's good to put in there, go for it, which is an imprimatur by the Pope or the Cardinal. A Cardinal can do an imprimatur as well, which is just Latin for let it be written. Why can't they just go with the thus saith the Lord? Why is it only going to be said, thus saith the Pope? And that's the way Catholicism, it's designed, is, you know, worship the man. You know, like the prophecy said, worship the creature more than the creator. Who is blessed forever, amen. All right, and then she says, the Holy Spirit traced these truths upon my heart and mind as indelibly as the law was traced by the finger of God upon the tables of stone, which are now in the ark, to be brought forth in that great day, when sentence will be pronounced against every evil, seducing science produced by the fire, the father of lies. There's something the Ron Wyatt theists might want to take a look at that actually claim Ellen White's a prophet. Anyway, going on. This next one is subheading, the 1911 revision of the Great Controversy. And then it says another subheading, the author explains what and why in 1911. It says, Dear Brother F.M. Wilcox, a few days ago, I received a copy of the new edition of the book Great Controversy, recently printed at Mountain View, and also a similar copy printed at Washington. The book pleases me. I've spent many hours looking through its pages, and I see that the publishing books have done good work. Think about that for a minute. She's checking it out. We all know the size of that book. And praise God, back then you didn't have TVs, video games, and all this other idiocy that we have today. Could you imagine trying to find the time, if you were lured away by that kind of falderal like most people are today, could you imagine her trying to find the time to, you know, just proofread a book? It's going to take a few hours. Well, come on, Monday Night Football's about to start, you know? That's the way today's world is. Everybody's so busy, busy, busy. Anyway, she goes on to say that the book Great Controversy I appreciate above silver or gold, and I greatly desire that it shall come before the people. While writing the manuscript of Great Controversy, I was often conscious of the presence of the angels of God. How many of us have gotten that little hug while we're reading the Word? And then she says, and many times the scenes about which I was writing were presented to me anew in visions of the night, so that they were fresh and vivid in my mind. Recently, it was necessary for this book to be reset, because the electrotype plates were badly worn. That's right. Electrotype. You know, hand placed. Anyway, she says, it had cost me much to have this done, but I do not complain, or whatever the cost may be, I regard this new edition with great satisfaction. Yesterday I read that W.C. White has recently written to canvassing agents and responsible men at our publishing houses regarding this latest edition of The Great Controversy, and I think he has presented the matter correctly and well. When I learned that Great Controversy must be reset, I determined that we would have everything closely examined to see if the truths it contained were stated in the very best manner to convince those not of our faith that the Lord had guided and sustained me in the writing of its pages. And how many of us that write tracts have done that? You get to reread and reread, and, you know, until you make sure that everything said that can be said in the most, you know, plain manner as possible, so that a child, as well as a theist, or a theologian, if you will, could actually understand it. Because there's so many people out there that are so interested in putting out those $20 words so as to glorify self, when wouldn't it just be better just to have the truth out there? Because if you're really inspired by the Holy Spirit to be putting pen to paper, why does pride have to get in there? Why has he got to get in the mix? Yeah, simple language. Short, yeah. Keep it simple. And, okay, this next one, well, this one's a continuation, I guess. It says, as a result of the thorough examination by our most experienced workers, some changing in the wording has been proposed. These changes I have carefully examined and approved. I am thankful that my life has been spared and that I have strength and clearness of mind for this and other literary work. And keep in mind, this is 1911, 4 years before she goes to rest. And it says, while preparing the book on the Acts of the Apostles, the Lord has kept my mind in perfect peace. This book will soon be ready for publication, and when this book is ready for publication, if the Lord sees fit to let me rest, I shall say amen and amen. And if the Lord spares my life, I will continue to write and to bear my testimony in the congregation of the people, as the Lord shall give me strength and guidance. And then the next one is a blank page, and then the next one is the introduction of selected messages. Section 4, the incarnation, introduction. So praise the Lord. Everything, I guess our little extra length on our praise service, if you will, was sanctioned from on high. Because we certainly, you know, ordinarily take 45 minutes to get through these sections of the books. And now we're, amen, God is good. Let me just see what this introduction is about, though, here, because we still got about 7 minutes left. Let me just see here, because if it's going to go into another... Oh, yeah, then it goes into chapter 19 about the incarnation. So let me just... maybe we can read the introduction now and then just go into the book next week. And it says, okay, so this would be the introduction of section 4, the incarnation, for those of you listening in on the recording. And it says, the plan of salvation of which the incarnation is the very heart is an exhaustless theme into which we may now look, and that will be the prime topic of study through the ceaseless ages of eternity. Again and again through the years, Ellen White in sermons, or I guess this is the compilers. Well, this is the White trustees, rather. Anyway, they say, again and again through the years, Ellen White in sermons, preached in letters written, in periodical articles and books, touched feelingly on the sublime topic of God and man becoming one, or the divine nature, as we call it today. And then they said, this is particularly so in the Desire of Ages. And a number of enlightening statements appear in the youth's instructor. Excerpts, and why they don't capitalize after hitting periods here is beyond me, but anyway, it says, excerpts from many of these and from like materials from other sources have already appeared in Selected Messages, Volume 1, the 1965 devotional book That I May Know Him, which is just a compilation of other books, because it's 1965 and it's, what, 50 years after she's gone to sleep. And then it says, an Ellen G. White releases in the SDA Bible Commentary, Volume 5, and the SDA Bible Commentary, Volume 7. Which is actually the commentary that you'll find in the Ellen White Bibles, they call them, where you have a King James Bible, and the commentary is actually Volume 7, which is pretty neat. The latter being a reprint of Appendix B of the Seventh-day Adventist Answer to the Questions and Doctrines. And yet, from time to time, further choice items come to the front from sources not commonly available. Several of these have been drawn together here to make up this section, the Incarnation. As we review these beautiful and at times seemingly unfathomable truths, we are reminded of this Ellen G. White statement. and they got two T's here, a capital T and then a little T when they're spelling the word the. And it says, the incarnation of Christ has ever been and will ever remain a mystery. And so I guess they're more or less building on that statement here, it looks to me, which I have a problem with the compilers, and as most of us do, as well as the trustees of the White Estate, because now if you get the CD from Ellen White's White Estate, you're going to see all sorts of NIV in there and NASB and all this other bogus Bibles as we know them as. And so, and they have, or even in brief Bible readings of the home, they have doctored the actual nature of Christ, as we saw someone who was part of our number did years ago, but we didn't find that out until after, of course, he left our number. But anyway, it finishes by saying, but these great truths, as we can grasp them by faith, are for us. And so I'm kind of like regretting reading this, because I don't want to have, and I'm glad I read it now rather than read it next week before we start the book or this chapter, because I don't want to have it in the back of my mind that their opinion is going to be built on the incarnation of Christ has ever been and will ever remain a mystery, because Sister White's going to touch on areas that will bring some truth to light. And she may have mentioned that. Well, here, let's look it up. Okay. She may have made that statement elsewhere in her writings in response to a question, as many times some of us have seen in just like some of the emails that, like, if you answer a question and you use part of a verse to answer the question or whatever, and people will literally take you out of context. But it comes up four times in Ellen White's writings, and the first time, of course, it comes up with the compilers here, which is what we just read from chapter 19 of the Incarnation. And then the next time it comes up, it's actually in Bible Commentary Volume 5, and it says Christ could be, okay, this is, yeah, it is a holy thing. It's a mystery that is left unexplained to mortals, that Christ could be tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. The incarnation of Christ has ever been and will ever remain a mystery. That which is revealed is for us and for our children, but let, okay, there you go. That is for revealed, that is revealed. This part they leave out. That which is revealed is for us and for our children, but let every human being be warned from the ground of making Christ an altogether human, such as one as ourselves, for it cannot be. And amen. But they could have just finished it with that. But this is based on, her statement here is obviously based on the fact that the question, or answering the question in regards to, was he tempted? Really, the way we were, or we are. And she's just saying, yeah, but then you have to understand here that the complete story, I guess a better translation would be the better, you know, like the entire story of the incarnation of Christ has ever been and will remain a mystery, but still there are things that are revealed unto us that they left out here. And so we may find some things that are, okay, and it comes up again the third time in the same area, but it's not, instead of it's in Volume 7 of Bible Commentary, and then the last time it shows up, it shows up in Manuscript Releases, Volume 13, and it's the same, more or less. It ends with that which is revealed is for us and for our children. So amen and amen. So, busticated. So, yeah, that's a pretty neat word there. Whoever just PM'd me, I heard it, but got no pop-up. Sorry for my browser. Must be busticated. Yeah. My busticated wrist. Yeah, that's pretty good. All right. Anyway, so next week we will start with page, let me copy this link, page 127 of Selected Messages, which is, of course, chapter 19, The Incarnation. I hope and pray you are blessed.